Now, this man, David, is a very remarkable man, and this next chapter, chapter 25, reveals it. We have here, actually, the death of Samuel in his retirement, and then we find that David encounters Nabal and Abigail. And David was right on the verge here of committing a very rash act. And a very wonderful woman by the name of Abigail prevented him from doing it. This is one of the high points in the life of David. Now, before we get to that, let me read the first verse of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. David now is actually moving farther away because he knows that Samuel was actually a force for good. He was a deterrent that was preventing the bitterness and the hatred of Saul to be vented upon him. And he knew that the minute that Samuel died, that he was a sort of a buffer between him and King Saul, and that now Saul would make every effort to try to destroy him. So he goes way down into the wilderness. By the way, he gets farther away than Elijah ever did from Jezebel. Now, we have this incident, though, of David and Nabal. I probably should have a eulogy here for Samuel, but Scripture's very brief here at his death. All it does, it says, all Israel gathered together and lamented and wept. Samuel had been a great man of God, no question about that. Outstanding, and he was the bridge between the judges and the king. He was actually the last of the judges and the first of the, shall I say, professional prophet, or the office of prophet. There'd been many prophets before Samuel, but he represents now an office that will follow through all the way through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, by the way. Now, we have before us here a man. Well, I think maybe we better let the Word of God tell us all about him. I'm begin reading now at verse 2 of 1 Samuel 25. And that was a man, and Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now, not all of Caleb's offspring turned out well, as you can see from this man here. It was Emerson, by the way, who said to be great is to be misunderstood, and certainly this applies to David. As we've said, he was great and he was misunderstood. The world does not know David, and therefore misjudges him. When the name of David is mentioned, immediately, why, there is called to mind his heinous sin. And there are those that inquire, how could David commit such a sin, and how could God say he's a man after God's own heart? And we'll have an occasion to answer those questions. But instead of questioning God's choice, we ought to investigate David's character, really. And you'll find that only those that are small and little will be the critics of this man. I think that David is one of the most lovely characters in Scripture. And to know David is to love him. I know of no man who presents such nobility of character as he does. Now, he had a checkered career. He was born a peasant boy in Bethlehem of Jesse of the tribe of Judah. He was brought up a little shepherd boy among fine brothers older than he was. He was passed by, but God hadn't passed him by. God knew his heart. And God doesn't look on the outward side. God knew this boy's heart. He was anointed king by Samuel, and he slew Goliath the giant. He was a musician. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he penned the most beautiful poetry written in any language or sung in any tongue. And if you doubt that, have you anything to put down beside the 23rd Psalm? And this man, David, married a princess, Micah, daughter of Saul. He was loved by Jonathan, the son of Saul. Never did a man have a friend like Jonathan. And David had such a friend. And he became an outlaw, sort of a Garibaldi. And during that time, he gathered to himself a band of men, and they lived in the mountain strongholds. He played mad like Hamlet on one occasion. He became finally king of Judah, then of Israel. And we're going to see his own son led a rebellion against him, and he was forced to flee. And he lived to see Solomon, his son, anointed king. Now, instead of looking at David and Bathsheba and seeing David's sin, I want you to look at something else. And not at David and Goliath and seeing his heroic accomplishment, or David and Jonathan and analyzing friendship. This chapter here has a very simple story, but it's a story of life. And it reveals the inmost recesses of his soul, of this man David. It's the story of David and Abigail, and it reveals how human this man David really was. Now, the name Nabal means fool. And how in the world the man got that name, I don't know, but he sure lived up to his name. But after all, aren't we all born fools? The scripture says, man is born like the wild ass's colt. Foolishness is bound up in our hearts. You want to look at your own life for a few moments? Did you ever do anything foolish? I think all of us have. And we'd rather not think about those things, would we? Well, Nabal was a fool, but he was a rich man. He had no honor or honesty. He was a drunken beast, and he was a Kabite. That is, he is a dog. But he had a beautiful wife, an intelligent woman, and that's a rare combination, but it's a pleasing one. And the question is, how did this man get such a jewel for a wife? Dr. McConkie calls the story of Nabal and Abigail Beauty and the Beast. And I think, frankly, that her parents had made the match. They were impressed by the man's wealth. And here's a case of beauty was sold for gold, and here's a traffic in a human soul. Somebody says, that's terrible. Happens all the time in our contemporary culture. But how often this has happened today, we actually don't know. But a sordid story we have here, and this is what happened. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. That's verse 4. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And what happened, and I'll tell this part of the story, David was protecting this man. You see, David had quite an army with him, and he could have robbed this man of his sheep. He could have taken them, but he didn't. He protected them and kept the thieves and marauders from getting them. And he did many things to assist this man. And now David needs food. And so he sends his young man to this man to ask for help. And we read in verse 9, and when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who's David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. And of course, what he's doing is saying that David has betrayed this man Saul and that he is disloyal. And then listen to Nabal in verse 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. David said unto his men, you know, David, I told you at the beginning he was red-headed. He's hot-headed. He's angry now. He says, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up David about 400 men and 200 abode by the staff. And one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And she knew what he's going to do. So she got together a great deal of food stuff. We're told in verse 18, then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and sheep, and ready dressed all of that, and raisins, and cakes of figs, and she goes out now to meet David before he gets to Nabal, because David would have killed him. Now will you notice verse 21? Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can read it, but you're going to find out he's going to kill every man that is among this man, Nabal. And Abigail went to meet David, and she lighted off of her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground, fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Says, take your vengeance out on me. And David's not about to do that. She's a beautiful woman to begin with. And these two confront each other. And she's an outstanding, noble woman. And she says that my Lord shouldn't have done that. And then she says concerning David, you are God's man. And I want to tell you, friends, David begins to see things a little differently. And he doesn't carry out a vengeance that he should never have carried out. Now she appeals to the best that's in David, and she advises him. Listen to her, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. She apologizes for the fact her husband is a fool and a brute. Listen to this. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, that he's a man of the devil, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. David is just starting out, friends. Evil is in his life later on, but up to this point, David is as clean as a hound's tooth. He's lived for God, and he's attempting to please God. And this woman admires him for it. Now, notice verse 29. This is one of the most remarkable things said about David. Be wonderful if it could be said about us. He says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. She's referring now to King Saul. She doesn't identify him by name. I read on. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Now, I think that's one of the most wonderful statements ever made concerning David, made by this woman. And she says, your soul is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And friends, that's just exactly the position of the believer today in Christ. You know, John, in his first epistle, calls him eternal life. He says, we have seen eternal life. And he means the Lord Jesus. He is eternal life. And when you and I trust him as Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of believers. And that body is Christ. Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And you and I today are brought into the body of believers, the body of Christ, by faith in Christ. And we are said to be in Christ. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And so we are bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman, Abigail, said that of David, that you're bound in the bundle of life with God. And now she continues in verse 29, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Just like you take a slingshot, and David knew all about that. And I think that she referred to that purposely because it was well known now in Israel what David had done with the slingshot in slaying Goliath. And she says, just as you put that rock in that slingshot and you threw it out of the sling and it hit Goliath, that's the way your enemies will be thrown out. They shall be sling out, as she puts it here. He'll sling them out. What a picture that you have here. Now she continues, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. What she's saying is, don't hold this against us. You're going to be king. And notice what David does now. I can see him sitting astride that horse. He's looking down at this woman that's right actually down in the dust. She's a beautiful woman, and she's a noble woman, a wonderful character. And David looks down at her, and this is what he says. Verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal, not a man. He said, I'd have killed them all. And David received of her hand that which she brought, and he said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I've hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in the house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. You see, this man, he had a big night. He was a swinger, but he sobered up the next morning, and it's the morning after the night before, and he's really got a headache and a heartache too. That heart becomes a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. He had a heart attack, friends. You see, it's well that God intervened, because David would have been red with murder, and God didn't want it that way, and Abigail didn't want it that way. Now what's he going to do? There's a beautiful widow that lives in the desert of Paran. What do you think David's going to do now? She's the only woman that ever did him well, I would say, that was a blessing to him. Now notice verse 39, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord." And actually, there's a little personal feeling in this. "That hath pleased the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. You know, she said when she came to David, says, "Don't forget us," says, "Remember thine handmaid." And David couldn't forget her. You know why? Well, she had appealed to the best in him, and she advised him, and he knew that advice was right, and he knew that he loved her. I think it was love at first sight. And now David recognizes the hand of God. And God can use beauty, and he thanks her for advice. And now we find that when they stood there that day, there were two great souls that stood in the presence of each other. And now that this man's dead, why, what happens? Why, he goes down and he asks her to become his wife. And you know what happened? She did. And so this is the beginning now of the life of David as a rugged soldier. This marks it, by the way. And now something else takes place. God didn't approve of it. This is not the reason that he's a man after God's own heart. But we're told here that David, verse 43, also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter David's wife, to Phaltith, son of Laish, which was of Galim. And this is the beginning of a life of David. It was a life of sin. It entered into his life, friends. He was a rugged man. And it was a life that later on of murder. And when we get to it, I think I can offer an explanation. I'm sure that's satisfactory, but it didn't keep David from being a sinner that he was. And somebody says, "Well, how could David say he's a man after my own heart?" Well, let's understand one thing. God said to David, "You can't do the thing that you really want to do," and that is build a temple. God would not permit him to do that. And that was the thing upon David's heart that he wanted to do above all else, but God wouldn't permit him to do that. And then when David sinned, God did put the lash on his back and never took it off his back.